You're listening to Brunch with me, Noreen Mayer, on this Thursday morning. Now, let's turn to the next guest and topic of today. In the next 15 minutes or so, we're talking about the role of feedback and also feedback literacy in education. And to talk about this, I'm really delighted to be chatting with David Carlis, who is a professor from the Academic Unit of Social Context and Policies of Education from the University of Hong Kong. Good morning to you, Professor Carlis. Thank you very much for being with us.
Good morning, Noreen. Lovely to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
It's great to see you. And I'd love for our listeners to meet you on Facebook, Noreen Mayer on RTHK Radio 3. We are live there this morning, as well as RTHK Radio 3. So perhaps let's back up a little bit. How would you describe feedback?
Feedback is often considered to be information that enables a learner to identify their strengths and weaknesses and improve. But some of us see it less as a thing and more as a process, and a process in which the learner needs to be invested, because it's only the learner that can improve. So sometimes when you get feedback from an external agent and they tell you you need to improve this, that, and the other, it can be a bit discouraging and it may not match with your own needs and interests. So I tend to think that feedback should come from the learner herself. And we're all learners, lifelong learners, including me and you, so that we have to see a kind of goal to improve and kind of diagnose our own ways forward. And external feedback from others can be part of the equation, but I kind of feel that feedback has to really come from within, your own drive to improve, your own reflections, your own goals for further development.
Absolutely. And there's a real skill in sort of giving and receiving feedback, but also in particular, the way that it's delivered. So why is feedback important?
According to the research, feedback is potentially one of the most powerful levers for higher achievement and development. But at the same time, the research tells us that feedback is highly complex and it's difficult to manage. It's difficult to deliver if you're a teacher. It's difficult to receive if you're a lifelong learner for various reasons. But it seems potentially one of the most powerful ways of improving. But as I've indicated, it's complex for a whole variety of cognitive and emotional reasons. So it's potentially powerful, but challenging to pull off.
Absolutely. Let's talk about sort of different types of feedback. I feel like sometimes you'll meet somebody at the water cooler, maybe somebody in management who'll give you some advice. Is that feedback? I mean, let's talk about the different types of feedback.
Yes, oral feedback can actually be potentially powerful because it allows for a little bit of negotiation of meaning. If you don't really catch what the person is saying, you can ask for clarification, you can negotiate meaning. You've also, with oral feedback, got the opportunity to look at nonverbal cues, such as the body language. And oral feedback can be fun and engaging. You can have a bit of a joke, you can get the sort of relational side of it. But I suppose in universities and in schools, learners receive quite a lot of written feedback. And written feedback is useful as a record. You could refer to it more than once. You could think it through. You could ask your friends or your parents what they think a teacher means. But I suppose a drawback of written feedback is it's less relational. It's less open to negotiation. And the reality is, with written feedback, it often comes accompanied by a grade. And when a learner sees the grade, they tend to have an emotional reaction to the grade, and then they often don't really delve too deeply into the written message. But nowadays, we also have technologically facilitated modes of feedback. so we can share feedback through email, through audio, through video. And then, of course, now we have generative AI feedback. So the generative AI never gets tired, it never gets frustrated. Whatever time of the day you want to ask some questions to generative AI, you can get information, but you don't know whether it's on the right track, whether it's reliable, whether it's kind of fake news, hallucinations. So this requires a certain amount of skills on behalf of a learner in interpreting, making sense of feedback, and then deciding what to do with it. Do I need to collect further information? Do I need to talk to somebody else to get a second opinion? And I call these kind of skills that you need to make sense of feedback, feedback literacy. In other words, the kind of capacities we need to make sense of feedback inputs from different sources and to decide what could be a way forward that makes sense for us, the learner.
Absolutely. There's a real skill in giving feedback. I was told that, try not to make it, well, never make it personal, but also that the language that you use, if you want somebody to improve on, say, the presentation that they did, rather than saying, oh, you weren't so energetic in the presentation, it's better to say something like, the presentation could have done with a bit more energy or, but again, there's a real sort of nuance between, communication. Sometimes when people are giving feedback, they're just so direct about it. And I feel like you can be direct and kind, yet there is a sort of awkwardness sometimes when people are so keen to deliver the feedback that they forget that it's important that what is the person going to walk away with hearing? Rather than just saying what you want to tell them, which is, of course, important, what is it that you want them to walk away thinking, feeling, and then hopefully changing and taking action?
Exactly. So there are a few strategies we have. One of them we sometimes call setting the scene for feedback. In other words, establishing the relationship, establishing the purpose of the feedback interaction. So maybe starting with a little bit of encouragement, you did well, but maybe we can have a conversation around how you could do even better next time. And I think if you preface your direct feedback with that kind of statement that you have your partner's best interests at heart, you're just trying to give them some ideas or some inspiration that they can use in the future. So I think setting the scene and sort of establishing a rapport and a relationship between the two feedback parties, I think that's an important first step. And then I think another strategy is firstly asking the feedback receiver how they felt about whatever performance they'd just done. So if, as in your example, they've done an oral presentation, for example, what do they think are the strengths and weaknesses of what they did? And is there anything they can think of that they might improve? Because this is bringing a bit of partnership into the feedback process. And it's also stimulating their metacognition, their reflection. And these are important. And I think that actually the individual themselves are probably the most important player in the feedback interaction. So if we can start with their reflection, their response, I think that kind of prepares the ground for some feedback from the provider that can maybe contribute to an interaction that can move the learner forward in terms of a future plan for action. As you've just hinted, really, feedback is most powerful when it leads to some future goal setting and planning and action. Good feedback really can stimulate thinking and then future action. But unfortunately, sometimes for emotional and cognitive reasons, feedback can leave the receiver feeling not so positive or not so energized. So the goal of the feedback interaction is to chart some directions for future potential actions.
Absolutely. And with feedback, you mentioned just now, it's about what the other person really ultimately walks away. And if you start the conversation by asking them, how do you think that went? Chances are they may not have felt so great about something that they'd done in a project. And this way it really opens up the conversation and you can build on that. This way, perhaps, you know, you're not the one bringing it up, but they're the one who already feel those feelings and you're just adding on and to that. And as you mentioned, it's ultimately about building the trust to say, well, you know, we've all been there and we'll help you get to that next level. That's what we're here for. But it takes time, especially reflecting back at younger years. We're just not wired to like to receive feedback because we feel like we know how to do something. It's only with age that we feel like, actually, I don't want to be the same person as I was 10 years ago. I want to hopefully have improved by then. How do we shift that mindset? How can we get that growth mindset? Well, in everyone, really.
Yes, you make some very good points there, Noreen. I guess that one of the strategies that teachers or educators can use is to model or share their own experiences of feedback. And I think, imagine you're teaching a class of teenagers in a school context. And as you say, maybe the teenagers don't necessarily welcome a lot of critical feedback. But if the teacher or educator were to share with the class their own experiences of maybe when feedback was helpful and why it was helpful and how it enabled them to develop, then they could also share an experience of feedback being a bit unpleasant or harsh, and then how they dealt with that emotionally. And I think this builds up trust and rapport between teachers and students. And I think it surfaces some of the challenges. But I think if an educator can demonstrate to a group of students how they have used feedback to improve and how it's been beneficial to them, then it can create an image that actually feedback is something valuable that we all need in human life. It's not just something that teachers impose on students, but it's something that we all need at different stages of our life and at different stages of development. And maybe humanizing the challenges of feedback and being open that sometimes feedback can be difficult, stressful, not so pleasant, but when it does work well, and maybe illustrating some of the characteristics of effective feedback interactions, but when it does help well, it can be inspiring and energizing and something we all need because we all want to develop in different facets of our life. And feedback from ourselves and from others, from peers, from technology can be one way of actualizing our personal development.
Yes. The culture of feedback is also interesting. I think in some places it's more of a top-down approach. I do think in academia, which I really admire, it's more of a 360 approach. So there are feedback from students with teachers also. And that's that's a great system. But in many organizations, there isn't that sort of, is it reverse feedback? I don't even, but a sort of 360 method of feedback. What are the implications of that style of feedback? I mean, should it be both ways? Should it be, should management also receive feedback from staff and vice versa? Well, yeah, definitely vice versa.
Yes, I think so. I mean, the university context is quite an interesting one because as a teacher myself, I get feedback in writing from every group of students I teach because this is a standard quality assurance process in universities. So for every course that is taken in a university in Hong Kong and in most places in the world, the students will complete at the end of the semester a written, not really an evaluation, but it's a student perspective. So we call it a student feedback on teaching and learning. And our quality assurance process requires us at the beginning of the next semester to explain to the students of the current class what feedback we had in the previous year from the students and what we have done in response to their feedback.
Oh, wow.
And I think that's quite good because it kind of shows that we take feedback seriously. It demonstrates it demonstrates a kind of positive orientation to feedback.
Exactly, so that, you know, students get feedback from teachers and teachers will also act on the feedback from students. This is a conversation that I'd love to continue with you, Professor Carlos. I'm afraid we're out of time this morning. I will invite you back another time for more feedback chat. Meanwhile, thank you so much for your time. That's David Carlos, the professor from the Academic Unit of Social Context and Policies of Education from the University of Hong Kong. Thank you very much indeed for your time.
Thanks so much. Enjoyed it very much.
Yes, me too. Just hold on, hold the line.